Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Priya. I'm here with my co-host, Iris. And we are in Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else at 60. Welcome, welcome. For those of you who haven't tuned in with us before, a especially warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us. Iris and I have been producing this show for several months now, and it came out of our couple of years of having deep conversations about what was going on for us as women and talking with other women and discovering that having deep, open, honest, and heartfelt conversations about what life is like on the inside of us as women is a very important thing in life. And that's why we're bringing out this into the public sphere, to bring issues out, to inspire you to think about them for yourself and to talk about these issues with your good friends. So hi, Iris. Welcome.
Hi, Priya. Hi, it's good to be here. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. today, Iris and I are going to talk about the importance of establishing a strong sisterhood with the women in your life. And what I mean by a strong, sisterhood is recognition of how important all the women in your life are. Your siblings, your parents, your aunts, cousins, your friends, your colleagues, the women that you see all the time in the store when you go shopping, those women, all the women that surround you. What inspired me to talk about this is that In the 1990s, I went through a couple of relationships in the period of 10 years. And during at the breakup of the first relationship, I was devastated, and I called all my women friends, and I got a tremendous amount of support. And then at the breakup of the second relationship at the end of the 90s, I called the same group of women and got the same kind of incredible support. And after that, or during that process, something occurred to me that was like a click, the light went off, that these women were actually giving me the love, the care, the continuity, the connection, the attention, the depth of commitment that I was so longing for with my partners that I had chosen, my romantic partners. And I happened to be heterosexual, so in this case it was men. And I realized that I had been taking my women friends for granted, that the only time I actually was coming to my friends for the depth of connection that I needed and was longing for was when I was in crisis. And I discovered in an instant how crazy that was, how unfair it was to these women, how unfair it was to our friendship, and how unfair it was and dissatisfying it was to myself. So in that moment, I decided that I was going to put the care and attention that I put into my intimate romantic relationships with my mates and partners, I was going to put that care and attention onto my relationships with the women in my life. And conversely, I was going to take the kind of spaciousness that I gave, kind of slack I gave to my women friends, and I was going to give that to my romantic partners. This dominoed in my life and created for me a life that was way more deeply connected to the women in my life and more nurturing. Because truly, we as women can give to each other the kind of intimacy, the kind of connection, the kind of emotional understanding that we really long for. I'm not saying that our partners can't give us this or can't meet us in those places or men can't meet us in those places, but our women friends are the easiest place to commune in the places that we most easily commune. So I woke up to something that I know many women already understand. I woke up to the incredible importance of building a strong sisterhood and acknowledging the importance of the relationships that I have with other women and honoring other women in my life, respecting other women and treating other women with the kind of care and consideration and nurturing that I have been so longing for. And I don't think that I'm alone in this. I know that many, many women are extremely lonely, especially when we're in single periods in our life, when our children leave us, or especially even in our marriages, especially long-term marriages. So this is why I stimulated this conversation. And so here we go. So Iris, we talked about this earlier in the week, and I know that you have a few things to share about this for yourself. So I'll hand the mic over to you.
Yes. I remember when you and I actually first, when you first mentioned this insight that you had, I think it's several months ago, and it was such a wake-up moment for me because I'd never really thought about my relationships with women in the same way. You know, and I always thought that my friendships with women were kind of like they took care of themselves, and that I didn't have the same attitude about those relationships as I did about relationships with men, where you feel like, you know, you need to make an effort and, you know, the love won't continue until you actually work on it, or only if you do, you know, whatever you put into it, that's what you get out of it. But for some reason, I have this attitude that relationships with women, first of all, should be easy and that they're kind of there. And it was just so great to hear you talk about wanting to give them the same amount of attention and care that you give to your other relationships. So that was a real wake-up moment for me. And, you know, in my own life's history, definitely my friendships with women were absolutely key through transitions, especially through menopause and the years since then. At the same time, I'm also looking at my kind of my family conditioning and the fact that I'm an introvert, and I actually don't have a lot of I don't have a big circle of women friends. You know, the women friends that I do have are really wonderful, deep relationships, but I sometimes feel like I'm isolated and alone because a lot of my women friends have actually in the last couple of years moved to different areas, and you know, that adds an extra special kind of pressure on the situation, or it requires more attention, right, to keep the relationship alive. But I have a longing now at this point in my life for having more meaningful relationships with women, and also the awareness that it really requires a great deal of care and attention. One thing I noticed for myself when I am in relationship, especially if it's a new relationship and I'm in love and, you know, the energy is really high, the tendency is to want to spend all my time with that person, and then that women, my relationship with my women friends kind of take a you know, background place in that, as you said, that when I then hit a crisis, then that's when I go back to my women friends. And that's, I agree with you, it's not fair. It's really important that while we're getting nourished in our primary relationships, it's really important to nourish and nurture our friendships with other women. I do believe that, mm-hmm. that we're kind of hardwired to have friendships. I think it's you know, men have friendships with other men, but for women, because we're based on our DNA, we're the gatherers, right? And women traditionally did things together, and taking care of children or of the elderly or the sick, that was traditionally a female role. So we were much more socially involved and closer to each other, and we're missing some of that now because we're so busy. We have jobs, we have, you know, so many things that take our attention that the sort of community of women in the sisterhood thing has not been at the forefront for many of us.
Yes, and as I'm listening to you, I'm also thinking about in our culture specifically, and I know in other contemporary cultures, let's say, or industrialized cultures, that we have let go of rites of passage for the most part. You know, we have communions and sweet 16s or bat mitzvahs or whatever those pointers are, but there isn't a regular moving through life with this emphasis on taking each other through our developmental stages together and honoring our rites of passage as we move so that we feel honored for where we've been together and where we're going together. And especially we as women in our 60s, there is no necessarily honoring, there's no rite of passage for us as elders in our culture. And this is a further isolating and sort of disenfranchising, for lack of a better word, experience for us as women. Many of us in our 60s, 70s, even 80s, become lonely and isolated. And we might cling to our grandchildren for a sense of connection, but that isn't completely fulfilling because we really need to be connected to our peers, other middle-aged women, different generations of women. So the question is, how do we replace this lack of rites of passage and continuity of connection, living together, bringing children up together, tribal living, so to speak? What do we replace it with? Because we're all living in our own little boxes, we have our little jobs, and we do have to make an effort to come together. It's a big question. And the other thing that I was thinking about is when you were sharing about going to your women friends when you were in crisis, I've certainly done this, and I have friends who do this too. You know, we're off in our little bubbles of a nuclear family or lovers or, you know, couplehood, and then when a crisis hits, we reach out. But we reach out for care from our women mm-hmm. friends. So we as women are caregivers by our nature. And I think that it's very important to remember that we need to be cared for. So giving each other care is crucial. Right. Tending yeah. to each other, not just when we're in crisis, but on a regular basis. You know, in the same way that we want to be cared for and tended to by our lovers. And, you know, even small things like buying your girlfriend's flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sending your girlfriend's Valentine's cards or whatever you're into. Right? Taking your girlfriends out to dinner. Treating your girlfriends with the same kind of honoring and respect and devotion that you would want from your lover. So we kind of circulate nurturing and care and devotion around in the circle of sisterhoods, just giving appreciation. How often do we call our girlfriends up and say, you know, I really love you?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's one level of it, that it's easy to say. It's even though I've been practicing this, it's not easy to remember to do this kind of stuff because that's not wired into us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I'm thinking about is an important point to bring up is
right. And I think also to make the distinction that you know what we're talking about when we need care and we need support is to limit the part of us that wants to just kind of complain, because that can become really tiresome, right? I mean, I've done that and I've been on the receiving end of it, and so you know, it's as women we often feel like when our plate is full and we're just like, you know, we need to have somebody who's just going to listen, And I think that's really important. It's important to provide that for our women friends and also to be able to do that. And at the same time, not take advantage of that in the sense of like just dumping. Because that's not a, you know, that's not really a supportive relationship in the end. It can actually be counterproductive. And to, you know, to go to a friend and say, this is what's happening to me right now. Can I just take 30 seconds or a minute just to kind of unload? And then, and then to become real about it and say, you know, I would just appreciate your, whatever it is, help to try to figure this out and make it a relationship that's truly alive rather than just the regular kind of offloading.
Yeah, that as you know, Iris, and some of our listeners might not know, that's one of my biggest passions is communication skills, and this is where communication skills come in, because you're absolutely right. Most of us, the only way we know how to share is either telling the long stories of our lives over and over again with all the details of what he said, she said, I felt, you know, that which is all wonderful, or we complain. And as we all know, this has a tendency to flatten out a relationship because it gets very tiresome. And it only uses a small fraction of our capacity as women, the most surface level, the capacity to listen and have empathy. And but we're uneducated and we don't know how else to be with each other. And so that is one great reason to actually learn personal communication skills, learn how to speak so that it engages your women, the women in your life, in a way that they can contribute to your growth, your healing, your transformation. And also learn how to listen so that you know how to, and I'm talking about the we when I say you, so that you know how to listen, so that you can support the women in your life to grow and to heal and to transform. Just like you would go to a marriage counselor, or you would take a relationship course to learn how to communicate more effectively and hold space more effectively. It's the same thing with the women in our lives. I know this from myself and from talking to lots of women, is that we get stuck in years of going through the same old stories over and over again and flatlining in our relationships, but we still hang on because we know we're important to each other. And this is, like I said before, I would say, for lack of a better word, misuse of what our potential is for each other, but it's because of a lack of education. So
yes, absolutely. And you know what I find, what I'm finding now that I'm older, it is actually equally challenging and difficult to be truly vulnerable and open with a woman friend, you know, especially when something occurs in the relationship where one of the two people is upset about something and then doesn't feel like, you know, it takes a lot of courage to bring things up, even with women. You know, there's this old attitude that thinks it should be easy just because it's not a sexual relationship. And I actually had, you know, the timing was really excellent. I had an experience yesterday with a very dear friend of mine that, you know, the subject really doesn't matter, but there was a situation where I felt I wasn't respected. My time, the value of my time wasn't respected, and I got upset. And I thought, honestly, oh, shit, now I'm going to have to deal with it, because it was the first time with this particular woman that I felt like, oh, now there's something, you know, we could both feel it. She could feel like, you know, I was upset. It wasn't actually, we weren't in each other's physical presence. And so I knew that moment that I'm going to have to deal with this because I really care about the friendship. I don't want to just let it go. I don't want to just say, oh, no, it's okay. Don't worry. It wasn't a big deal. I wanted to get to a place where I could really say, you know, this is how I experienced it and be authentic. And so Because of what I've learned from you, Priya, I had the confidence that I would be able to do it. I knew that I needed some time. You know, yesterday wasn't the right time to do it. So I texted her this morning and I said, she suspected that I was upset. And I said, you know, thank you for your apology. I really appreciate it. And yes, you know, I was upset. And it would have been nice if you had let me know, blah, blah, blah. And but, you know, no hard feelings and everything's good and I love you. And for me to have been able to do that was like revolutionary. I don't think it would have been harder to do it like some years ago. So I'm really happy that I was able to take this discomfort that I had in the whole situation and be true to myself without going into like, you did this and that's how it made me feel and that's why I'm upset. You know, it wasn't kind of justifying it, just like bringing it to the surface and saying, yes, I was actually hurt. And thank you for recognizing that and thank you for apologizing. So,
yeah. And I'm just imagining that you both felt closer as a result.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it was like this huge relief and feeling like, oh, that was real. That was like a real experience, an authentic experience, and yay, you know. It does fortify the relationship because on some level it builds trust,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I know that we, all of us women, experience this, and I know how upsetting it is for us women when our relationships don't go well. Because from my perspective, because love is so important to women, relationships are very important to all of us. And when our relationships aren't going well, when there's tension, there's conflict, that it disturbs us systemically. This is what I wanted to bring out, the recognition of this. And also partially because I noticed that because our culture is fixated on efficiency and making money and achievement and accumulation of possessions and things like that, that the care for relationship is not really understood. And also the emotional potency of women, it has a bad rap. You know, we're thought of as, oh, don't be a drama queen, don't be so melodramatic, I don't want to talk about it, you know, it takes up too much time, all of this stuff. And I know that we're all wounded in this way. So we kind of hold back and we don't know how to be with the depth of our feelings for each other. And it's so important to start coming forward and honoring ourselves and each other as women by being courageous enough to come forward with our hearts and share together, which also, from my perspective, means dropping our competitive stuff that's been laid on top of us by the advertising industry and our fear of each other and our judgments of each other, our criticisms of each other, sort of dropping all of that and remembering that we all share the heart of a woman and we know what that is. And it's time to extend that care to each other or ask another woman to engage in that kind of care with us.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, like, have you ever experienced when you have a struggle with a woman friend and after you work things out, you both cry? I've experienced that many times. And that's an example of it. It's like, it's such a relief to let it, all the stuff that's in the way, just go.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that. I mean, I do remember, you know, actually breaking up with a couple of my women friends. You know, this is more than 10 years ago now, but I was shocked at the time thinking, wow, I can actually break up with a woman friend? That this is not what I expected. And you know, when things are not resolved, and, you know, I'm just taking baby steps here of just really reminding myself that I want to be in the moment, present, and just deal with whatever comes up. So I haven't had like a huge transformation like that, but I can imagine how wonderful that is, because I definitely have had that experience within my, you know, primary relationships with men, where mm-hmm. if both people show up and work through whatever is present, it gets, you feel closer, and it's really, that's what intimacy is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Intimacy is not this nice, you know, it's not this nice fuzzy, warm thing. Yes, it is. But intimacy is really the making it through these kind of challenging, difficult times.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that word up, because that is a word, at least in my world, that usually is saved for a relationship that's romantic or sexual.
Right.
But there is a whole other world of intimacy, which is emotional intimacy, right? Energetic intimacy, closeness. And that can happen between any two people, or even a person and an animal. So that's a whole other thing to think about, is this thing of, how can I be more intimate with my women friends? And I was just thinking about this, something that you mentioned about feeling like you wanted more women in your life that you could relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about this other thing, is how we put so much energy into finding the right guy, finding the one. We go to coaches, we take programs, we do all these things. And we could extend the same kind of thoughtfulness to finding the right women for us, finding the women in our life that really make our hearts sing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole other, I'm just sort of expanding this notion of friendship.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. To really, I mean, that's something I do want to invite into my life. And I have been part of women's circles, and it's always been really wonderful work. But there were the kinds of situations that were like a part of a class where you would pay, you know, to be there, and that this definitely a wonderful experience, but I'm just longing for having connection, meaningful connection of women that I can truly relate to, that can relate to where I'm at in my life right now. And I do have some, you know, great relationships with younger women, which is wonderful too, because I think there's a lack of like intergenerational,
mm-hmm.
You know, connection with women. So I do appreciate that, but I feel like there's not that many women my own age that I
mm-hmm.
have this type of relationship with, and it's definitely lacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you're alone in this at all. I hear this from a lot of people that I speak to. Oh, my goodness. We have 90 seconds. I think it's time to say goodbye.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, it did. Thank you so much for tuning in to this ongoing conversation about women making sense of sex and everything else at 60. And I want you to know that we have a Facebook event page. We have a Facebook page. You can post there. You can look for resources there. And with that, I'll pass the mic over to you, Iris, to say goodbye.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for listening. And I know Priya and I would both be really interested to hear what kinds of subjects you would like us to talk about, if you have any questions, you know, particular things that have come up for you that we could incorporate into this program. We would love to hear from you.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that, Iris. I really appreciate it. Okay, well, thank you so much, Iris. It was a pleasure. Thank you, everyone. Yes, and until next time.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye for now.